Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Dead of Night Discourse for Disco Queens.
I'm related to Jedward and Dolly Parton.
Dairy Farmers.
Aye, aye.
And Distant Fathers.
Yeah, whatever.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
Doing lots of things that we don't know about, we can't control.
On Talk Radio.
Yes, great.
This is very exciting for me. I love The Who. Love the small faces. The faces I'm not so massively excited about, but I do like quite a bit of their tracks. The small faces, though, flipping heck. And the drummer for all of those groups, well, was certainly for The Who for the last couple of years, was Kenny Jones. He replaced Keith Moon. And he's got an autobiography out. And, you know, I love the small faces. I love The Who with Kenny. The song, some of the songs they did were really, really good. And there's a great VHS, but no, it's a great Betamax, actually, I used to have of The Who live in 1982, I think, in North America with Kenny on the drums. And anyway, he's a legend, right? And you may not know him. He's the only surviving member of the Small Faces left. And you may not have heard of him before, but he's got an autobiography out where he talks about his life and talks about being a rock and roll drummer and talks about... Oh, and there's an exclusive reveal in this about the Small the Faces possibly getting back together. So we recorded this about 7 o'clock tonight. This is me having a chat with Kenny Jones. Kenny Jones, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, flipping heck, mate. Hello, mate. My name's Ian. What a thrill to speak to you. How are you doing?
It's nice to be alive to speak to someone.
Oh, mate, honestly, I'm such a fan. I'm so thrilled to have you on. Thank you so much. You've got the book out. We are going to plug the shit out of your book, man. I promise you.
Oh, good. If you like it.
Well, I'm halfway through it. I'm loving it. Now, listen, when I was growing up, one of the key videos I had was The Who live, and I think it was in Canada, that 1981-82 tour.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
That you did. And it was such a great concert and such a great video. And I just... let's talk about The Who first, and we'll jump around a bit. What was it like replacing Moon in The Who?
Well, I never started out to replace Keith Moon in The Who, because basically when Pete asked me to join the band,
yeah,
and we had a meeting on it, I said, look, there's no way. I was forming a band of my own with Glyn Johns, and we were just about to get $1.5 million, which is a lot of money in those days, for a brand new band.
Yeah.
It's half American, half English, and I said, look, I've just about to put pen to paper to sign this contract, and we've kind of done a lot of work on it. I said, so I really feel awkward about sort of, as much as I'd like to sort of work with you, I said, I'm already working with someone, so I'm committed, you know, so I can't do it. And we talked about it for 2 hours, having a good old laugh and a chinwag, and he came right out with it, he said, Kenny, you've got to join the band. You're one of us. You're a mod.
Wow. Yeah.
I said, I played on my own emotions, which was great, and it worked, because basically I said, look, Pete, I said, I can't, there's no way I can emulate or even try to copy Keith, because Keith was a good friend of mine. And not only that, there's only one drummer for The Who, and always will be only one drummer for The Who, and that's Keith Moon in my book, right? I said, but, you know, I said, I couldn't copy anything he does, I'm not going to, but, you know, and he said, well, look, in many ways, because Keith's gone, we now have a chance to do something completely different.
Yeah.
So that's when I went, okay, that sounds interesting. So I said, look, okay. I said, okay, then let me go back to the rest of the band, and the one I was forming with Glyn Johns, and just talk it over with them. He said, okay, great. So I said, but, you know, I can't do that. I said, I'm not going to copy Keith anyway. I said, there's certain fills I can do, which I would love to play, because they are really interesting fills that Keith did. I said, but right, playing off the wall like he does is not easy. So he said, no, okay. So I went back and had a word with the band, told them, I said, look, I've been asked to join the... And they said, Kenny, you've got to do it.
Yeah.
I said, okay. So it was so kind. And I said, okay, great. So I did end up joining the Who. And then I found myself in Shepherd and Phil Studios rehearsing and learning the whole of the Who's repertoire within just in 2 weeks. And I was making all kinds of... My training for... Well, my experience with doing sessions came in handy when I was writing everything out. I wasn't writing music out, I was writing a paraphrase of what my own understanding of what it was.
Right.
So I could understand and cope with the arrangement.
And were you nervous, Kenny? Because obviously you've been in the Faces and the Small Faces and you played big gigs, but were you nervous in those first rehearsals?
I was a little bit apprehensive, but I never had time to be nervous, to be honest, because I wasn't nervous because all the band, it's like being in one band. The Small Faces and the Faces used to tour a hell of a lot around Europe and England and then, you know, Australia and whatever, New Zealand. So we'd done an awful lot of work together. And also, I'd always worked with Pete Townsend just doing demos with him.
Yeah.
So we're all used to working with each other. So I wasn't nervous on that respect. Like I said, the only thing that I was concerned about or apprehensive about was actually learning the Who's repertoire.
Yeah.
So...
Well, yeah, the concerts I've heard, that video and the live album, I loved. And do you know what? I've got a soft spot for those last two albums, the Face Dances and It's Hard. I think they get a bit of flack but compared to classic Who albums. But there's some great songs on there, You Better You Bet, Athena, It's Hard.
Yeah, You Better You Bet, it's great.
There's some brilliant songs on there, man.
And Cry, actually. I love Cry.
Yeah, there's some great stuff. What was... I've read, and you can tell me if this is true or not, that it was that Pete was on side, John was on side, but things were a bit tricky with you and Roger.
Well, everyone was on side when I joined the band. Even Roger was told the Sunday Times that he'd had a seance with someone, and Keith talked to him through this seance Ouija board and said, you know, there's only one drummer, Kenny's got to join the band.
Wow!
So that's in print. But what's happened? Well, we started to play and doing the first few gigs and God knows, and then we started a tour. It worked quite extensively. And I think we got to Roger, to be honest. You know, we played away and then suddenly, you know, we're doing anything. And then he looked around and said, then Keith, to me.
Kenny, hang on 1 second. We're losing you ever so slightly. I don't know. I know you. I don't know if you're in your mansion. I don't know if you can move to the West Wing or the East Wing.
I'll move about. So you tell me if it's okay.
There we go. How's that?
That's good. I'm standing, just looking at the bar now.
Do not move from that bar, however tempting it may be. So go on. Yeah. You did those gigs, and what was Roger like?
Well, it's great. No problem. It's all getting great. But I think what happened was there was a build up in Roger's mind. That, you know, every time, you know, he'd look round, instead of seeing Keith, he'd see me. And I think that got to him a little bit. And also my drumming style was different to being all over the place, you know, like Keith. So I think I should have put myself in Roger's shoes at the time and learned to understand what he was going through. And I didn't, unfortunately. But I did say that in the book. I just said, one of the great things about writing the book is that I can... put myself back in time and explain the way I felt at the time, but I don't feel like that anymore in certain cases because time heals. So I now say in the book, and I'm trying to explain, I should have understood a little bit more where Roger was coming from. I didn't. That's being young or whatever, and I should have corrected myself in certain things I should have done. I didn't, but I you know, I've had time to live with it. So there you go.
You played with them a while. You did kind of the early 80s. Then there was Live Aid. And then there was the Brits Award as well.
There's lots of them in between all that as well.
Yeah. Did you feel bad that you didn't get asked... The first tour that they didn't use you, did you get a phone call saying, look, Kenny, we're going with someone else? Or did you just kind of see it advertised?
No, I knew it. So I knew that it was... When after we did Live Aid, I knew that was it. You know, I just thought it's not going to happen. So, and also, I was already forming a band with Paul Rogers,
right?
Called The Law. So I wanted to work with Paul. So no problem, because I just thought, well, okay, you know, I'm glad to have helped out The Who in some way, and that was that.
When was the last time you sat behind a drum kit?
Oh, last time, to be honest, I haven't been behind the drum kit for about a month now. It's only because I've been moving, and God knows I've been really busy.
Yeah.
But I love playing drums. That's all I do, and I play drums all day long until someone takes me off them.
I was going to say, do you still do it for fun? You still get great pleasure of sitting there and bashing away?
Well, I've got my own band, so I've got no choice. It's a wonderful band. It's the best band I've ever been
in. Go on, who's in the band? What's the band?
Well, it started out with Rick Wills on bass,
yeah,
from Foreigner, right? And then Robert Hart, who was in Bad Company for a bit, and then Dave Bucket Caldwell, who was also in Bad Company, and it went on like that for quite a few years. We had a hit record in about 10 years ago. We formed probably a bit longer, but
yeah,
we had a hit record in America called Angel about 7 or 8 years ago.
Yeah, wow.
Which is fantastic. So we went to number one.
Who'd have thought in the 60s, when everyone's saying this music is plastic, it's never going to last, who'd have thought in the 21st century you'd still be having hits?
Well, you know what? It's funny, because there was a guy called Ron King, right, in 1965, when we just signed to Don Arden. And we had a meeting, because he was a promoter, and he lived in Ilford.
Yeah.
Right. And after the meeting, he gave me a lift back to, because I couldn't drive then, I was so young to drive, and he had to go right through the East End to get to his place in Ilford, and he dropped me off in Commercial Road where I used to live, and he said, on the way, he said, look, you've only got 3 months in this career, Kenny. He said, what do you want to do? He said, you want to end up having a nice car like this, and be like me. And I said, okay. So I shut the door. When he drove on, I went, the last thing I want to do is end up having a car like this and being like you. I just walked off.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So here we are, 55 years
later. Nuts. Do you, I always felt sorry for drummers. I played a little bit in bands. I was a bass, right, because I'm not very good, but I could get away with it. But I always felt sorry for drummers, because there's so much to carry. With a guitar, you just slip it on your back. But when you're young and you're starting out, you've got you know, all the toms, the snare, you've got everything. How did you do it in the early days?
Well, I used to put it on a bus.
No, you didn't!
I did, yeah, to go and see Ronnie Lane when Ronnie Lane and I met. I lived in Stepney, and he lived in just the other side of Stratford.
Yeah.
And so what I did was I only took the basics. I only took one cymbal stand,
yeah,
one cymbal, hi-hat, and a snare drum, a couple of sticks, and that was it on the bus.
That's still a big old thing to carry around with you, man.
When you're determined, you will do anything to make it work.
You didn't want to be a drummer, though, to start with, though. I got this right. You wanted to be, bizarrely, kids, here's some trivia, you wanted to play the banjo.
Of course, yeah.
Rock and roll, man!
I wanted to be like Lonnie Donegan when I saw him with Six Live Special.
Yeah.
And the Skiffle Group, and he was singing Rock on the Line. I just fell in love with the sound of the banjo. You know, the song was great too, but the banjo just made that great sound. So, I've got a banjo now. I bought one eventually.
Can you play it?
No. I've got a rocking chair as well, so I thought... when I get old enough and feel that stupid, I'll get in the rocking chair.
Come on, Val Doonican.
With my banjo. Yeah, I bought the wrong banjo, though, see. I went to the George Formby one, you know, the rhythm one.
Yeah.
But instead of that, I fell in love with this mother of pearl, wonderful banjo. But it's a lead banjo. So it's the next really long one.
It's not a five string, is it? Because the five string ones are really hard to play.
Yeah, it's a five string.
Good
yeah.
luck, mate.
With one string lower down the neck. Yeah.
Good luck with that. When you first sat behind a drum kit, was it that kind of that magical moment where you just felt at home, or was it? Did it take bit longer?
I felt at home, and it was a complete thing of discovery. I was discovering the sound and how to play it. It was fascinating for me, so I was totally hooked. For a while, I did just playing on the snare drum. Little bit, and then for the hi-hat, and then bits and pieces, and then they've got the bass drum and whatever. And I played like that for a while, you know. Then I thought, I wonder what that's for there, that tom-tom in front of me.
Mm.
So I used to hear that a little bit. Okay, so I experimented and do little roles, and I watched people, and so I got to learn my way around the drum kit, and I used to polish it a lot, because basically, every drummer loves polishing their drum kit. Yeah. Like, until they get fed up with it one day and get a roadie to do it. But, it's the best way to crush your instrument. I love it.
Yeah. Oh, no, I think you're absolutely right. I'm just, funny enough, I'm just watching this recent documentary about Eric Clapton, and he's talking about, you know, the B.B. King and all of the stuff. And I was wondering, who did you have any drumming influences, any heroes, or, you know, like the Gene Krupas and all of that? You thought, I fancy a bit of that.
Around. Gene Krupa was around, yes. I saw him on Sheet Music along with Buddy Rich. But when I learned to play drums to a couple of records that my mum and dad in 78 in the house. One of them was 12 Street Rag and the theme tune to Rawhide.
Oh, beautiful.
But 12 Street Rag was great because he's like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, boom. You know, it's jazz to me. So I just took to jazz straight away.
The Small Faces, I love The Small Faces, and it frustrates me that most people know them for Sha-la-la-la-lee and Lazy Sunday Afternoon.
Yeah.
And yet there are some you guys did some amazing deeper cuts. I mean, I think it was a single as well, actually. Things like The Universal and... Tin Soldier, man. What a song.
Oh, by the way, Ogden's Nut Gone Flake is out on vinyl now. And it came straight in the charts. It's number 7 in the vinyl charts.
That's higher than it did the first time round, isn't it?
No, it got to number 1.
To number 1? Okay, because this is like I'm going to use the C word, the concept album, very loosely, with Professor Stanley Unwin and stuff. And it's a great album, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm very proud of what I did on that, drumming-wise and everything. And one of the other tracks I like is Green Circles, and I was doing lots of sessions with big bands, so I was playing big fills. When I used to come back with the Small Faces and we'd go to the studio, I introduced my big fills to them. That's how I got into it. And then the other one I loved was, it's not a Small Faces song, but it's written by Steve and Ronnie, and I ended up playing on it by accident, but all of us did, Mac as well. So all the Small Faces are playing on it, so, and it's called If You Think You're Groovy, but for PP Arnold.
Oh,
I love the drumming on that.
We love me and Catherine, my producer. We love PPR. I forgot, of course, the Small Faces. You were a backing band.
Well, for that man, yeah.
I didn't know that you were doing like big band sessions in between Small Faces sessions.
Yeah, no, I did them all. I played on so many other people's records. That's unbelievable.
When you come in and go, hey, I've just been doing this with a big band, what would Stevie Marriott say?
He was too busy writing songs, and you know, we were too busy doing our own recording.
Yeah.
You know, and I think they knew I enjoyed doing sessions, so they were just encouraging me to do them. You know, but I don't think they could have got up in time to do them during the day.
Right.
Let's put it that way. I did.
Did you guys, have I got this right? Did you guys live together for a while, a bit like the Monkees?
22 Westmoreland Terrace, Pimlico. Yeah.
And was it as much fun as the Monkees, or was it? I imagine it was a bit funky and a bit dirty.
I wasn't there all the time. We rented this, Don Arnold rented this house for us, and our next door neighbour was Honor Blackman, and I really fancied her. We all fancied her, so
of course
we just wolf whistle every time she came out. Until one day I found out she was as old as my mum, and I went, oh, no. But you know what? She looked great. She's stunning. She still looks stunning.
You know what? I still fancy her. She still looks stunning. Don Arden, of course, famously was a tough old manager. The rumours of him hanging someone out of the window by their feet. Did you ever see any of his shenanigans, or was he delightful with you boys?
He was delightful with me because he knew my background.
Right.
My background's from I'm an EastEnder.
Yeah.
So I knew all the hoods. And the Craytons were my distant cousins of mine.
Wow.
So he's lucky to be alive. He was at that time.
Were the Cray twins actually your distant cousins? Because my nan would always say the Cray twins were her distant cousins.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Everyone's related in the East End.
Yeah, I think they are. My mum grew up on the Essex Road, which is like just a little bit more central. But yeah, the Cray twins. My nan claimed she was at a funeral that the Cray twins were at once. And I wonder how much of that is actually true.
Yes, well, I think if people talk about it, there's got to be an element of truth about it.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise there's no point in it. You can't make that stuff up.
The book, and I'm a bit of the way through it. It's a cracking read. Let the Good Times Roll. My Life in Small Faces, Faces and the Who. Do you pinch yourself sometimes, Kenny? Because you were in three... you know, people are lucky if they're in one band that hits quite big. But you were in three of the biggest... I say rock bands, rock and roll bands of the ever. You know, do you ever look back and go, "Flipping heck, that was me"?
Well, no. I think all these things. I don't think of it as anything special, to be honest, because basically, I didn't at the time. I suppose it is really in other people's minds, but it's a natural progression of what I was doing and where I was going in music. One band sort of finished, the Faces started, but you know, purely naturally. Then, you know, Keith died and I was doing nothing at the time, just sessions and stuff like that. And then here we go. And then I ended up being in the Who. So it's kind of weird. I must have been doing something right drumming-wise. I don't know.
And by the way, I love the way that proper members of the Who call it the Who. That you know,
That's right,
that validates it totally. Kenny, honestly, man, it's such a thrill. Very quickly, one more thing and I'll let you go. There was all this talk, well, actually, it was probably about 8, 9, 10 years ago, of the Faces getting back together with Rod Stewart.
Yeah.
I know it didn't happen and Hucknall did it. Is it going to happen? What happened there?
Yeah, well, actually, at my polo club, right, we actually raised money for prostate cancer. And the first gig I did was I got asked Pete and Roger to do it and help out for that one. So we reformed the three of us together.
Oh, brilliant!
For that one, we did that one, and then the next year I did the same thing with the Faces. So me, Rod, and Woody, we had a great time rehearsing and stuff. It's so funny. But we always get together 3 or 4 times a year anyway.
Yeah.
At each other's house and have a good old life and go to a meal, have a restaurant, causing havoc wherever we go.
Good for you, man.
And we have been talking about doing things like Las Vegas, so it's not too much of a hassle and that sort of thing. And so, because I said to Rod, I'm not going to do Las Vegas. I said, that's horrible, playing while people are eating. He said, no, it's not the same, Kenny. It's more like a gig, you know, it's an audience, it's more intimate. I said, okay, great, sounds good. So we decided to do that. But every time we try and do something, you know, the Stones go on tour. So we've got to wait till each one of us are free and available.
Yeah.
So mainly Woody, because I think the Stones, I think Jagger keeps stopping the Faces getting back together.
Is he doing it because he's jealous?
No, I'm only kidding.
Hey, Kenny, honestly, man, I saw you years and years ago. I saw you in a rehearsal room called, what was it called? It was... In London's... Anyway, I saw you at a rehearsal room when I was rehearsing in the band, and we all got really excited. Flippin' heck, it's Kenny Jones! So to talk to you, man, it's such a thrill. The book is Let the Good Times Roll, My Life in Small Faces, Faces and the Who, Kenny Jones. It's been such a thrill, man. I wish you continued years of success.
Thank you very much. But there's more in the book. It's actually an autobiography from the start. And then it's the story of my life in the bands and all that. It's also... what I'm like as a person, how I grew up as a kid.
Beautiful. Thank you, mate.
I'm glad you all like it anyway.
So. Oh, thank you, brother. It's so nice to talk to you, Kenny. Best of luck with everything.
Thank you so much.
Cheers, mate. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Moonlit musings from mums, madams, ooh, and meat packers.
Oh, never mind, I must have misheard.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
The station's brilliant.
On Talk Radio.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.